everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Grohl.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to a special midweek mini episode.
Yeah, buddy. Super special.
We don't do these very often, and we probably won't be doing that many more of them because this has been...
Nightmare.
It's been a journey to get it, hasn't it, Ben?
Sure. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah. We're normally...
Our week's on fire.
Right. We're normally at like max capacity, and we're like, do you know what? The same weekend... that we do a weekend of release review of a film that's in the cinema. Let's do an interview with one of Ben's all-time most influential directors.
Oh my God, it was wonderful.
And review his movie.
Yeah, his film that is premiering this weekend at Fright Fest UK. This week, we nailed it, bud. We had the insane opportunity to interview, like you just said, one of my personal heroes, Dean Alioto. For those of you that don't know, Rob, tell us who Dean Alioto is.
Dean Alioto is a director who is possibly the first person on the planet to discover the found footage movie format.
He's the forefather of found footage.
He is.
All the Fs.
And way back in episode 169... about this time last year, we covered the McPherson tape, which was a found footage abduction movie that has fundamentally changed Ben's psyche.
Yes.
Part of his Trigger trilogy.
Yes. It fucked me up beyond belief. It was presented as a real UFO abduction thing. Shit my pants. 5-minute walk home after midnight took me 45 minutes. It was insane.
Yeah.
And since then, I've been obsessed. I've followed Dean Alioto for a little while now. We shot our shot. Bud, you got a new film coming out. Do you want to come on our show? He said no. And then I agreed that there would be no anal probing involved, and then he finally agreed.
So, no one's seen this film yet.
No one's seen it. It's not out.
Except for the audiences of two screenings at Fright Fest. So, I imagine 95% of the listeners to this podcast will either be regulars, and the other 5% will be those people. So, if you've been to Fright Fest... welcome to the show.
Welcome, buddy. We hope you enjoy the last podcast. Come on, Rob, give us a quick breakdown of the last podcast by Dean Alioto.
So this spoiler-free episode.
Spoiler-free.
Brief breakdown is that a paranormal podcaster, who's a bit of a skeptic, bit of a debunker.
Yeah.
He is contacted by a potential guest who claims to have categorical proof that there is no afterlife.
Ooh.
And... interviewing this guest proves to have calamitous consequences for our podcaster.
Great use of calamitous there, buddy.
Thank you, mate.
Enjoyed that. Not fully understanding it, but enjoying it.
I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell the listeners which 80s horror comedy this evokes. Because if I tell them, then there's going to be whole points of the plot that they'll immediately intuit.
Sure.
But
definitely.
To see them in a contemporary film. Just warmed my cockles.
1,000%.
Warmed my cockles. It was a lovely thing.
Mm.
And it was one of those things, the second I saw it, I was kind of weirdly grateful that such a sort of seemingly niche part of my childhood was still worthy of enshrining in contemporary cinema.
Definitely. I tell you what, right? There are so few films that come out in this day and age that when I watch a brand new film for the first time, I get hit with nostalgia. And it's the oddest feeling in the world to watch something brand new and go, oh God, this feels warm. Oh, this feels like home. What a lovely little slice of pie.
And that's not to say I didn't have reservations and still have reservations about this film because I'm bad at B-movies. We'll get into that later.
We'll have a chat about it in a bit.
But for now... what are your initial thoughts on the movie? What did you enjoy it? Did you like it? Did it warm you?
Right, we got sent a screener for this less than a week ago. I've watched it 3 times since. The first time I watched it, I was like, I didn't know what I was expecting. We get sent a lot of films. A lot of them aren't my cup of tea. I went in reserved. By the end of it, grinning from ear to ear, and I was like, I need to do it again because I've had my enjoyment watch. Now I need to do my note-taking watch, right?
Yeah.
The main thing I picked up is the tone of this film immediately.
Yeah.
On my second watch through, the horror of the film is slow building, right?
It's
paced really well, but it's slow building. The comedy is consistent, but it's also wildly inappropriate at times. Right up my alley. And I'm like, okay, so something's building. We're wildly inappropriate. This is great.
Yeah.
And it's all justified within the characters' personalities because they are very well fleshed out characters. The actors that are playing these characters are phenomenal.
Yes.
For people that are phenomenal. for people that... Oh my God, I hate this. We're never covering the Muppets, ever. The actors that are playing these characters are phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, they really, really are.
And then to sort of put the little cherry on the top, the little icing on the cake, there is gore sporadically, but so unbelievably well utilized.
Yeah,
that it knocks your tits clean off.
As a non-B-movie, non-grindhouse, non-exploitation movie cinema goer, I enjoy them when you show them to me, but it's not something that I do in my... I don't seek them out in my personal time.
Yeah.
I only ever really ever seen the ones you've shown me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do like a bit of gore, especially if it's done with like a tongue slightly in cheek.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
But it has to be deployed correctly. I'd say this does that.
Yeah.
I don't go into this expecting a gory film.
Yes.
And you'll be pleasantly surprised. I do have to point out that I do think Dean has an innate understanding of what having a podcast is like.
Oh, man.
And what it can be.
1,000%, yeah,
and
definitely.
And he explains this way better than I ever could in the interview that we did with him that will be available on YouTube.
Right now.
Right now. Oh, right now, okay.
Right now.
There you go.
Yeah, I've set a time limit. Right now. Go watch
right,
it.
Right, okay.
Immediately.
It was an interesting film to watch when we were having the week we were having, where like we had so much on that we were getting grumpy, we were fighting, and then there's Charlie the podcaster going through all the stuff we're going through, and I'm like, I feel naked and I don't like it.
Also, the man that terrified me and just destroyed my psyche, my formative stoner years, fully understands exactly where I'm at in life, and that terrified me even more. I was like, he might be a wizard.
You go, oh, I thought I was complicated and a real person.
Right? Dude, he just unravels it immediately. He's like, we could throw this character together. Whoop, unzipped.
There's your snapshot.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Speaking of the main character, Charlie, though, the time from movie starting to initial trauma, whoopsies,
I fucked it,
is rapid, right? Film throws you in at the deep end. You've got like a nice little introduction, then all of a sudden, boom, you're in it. You're in it with Charlie, and Charlie's such a fucking like charming, charismatic, lovable guy that you can't help but kind of want to be along with the ride for him. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of. There were times at the start where I just went, well, this guy's horrible, and I don't like the way he treats his guests, and I don't like this, and I don't think I'm sympathizing with this character. And then later on, I'm like,
But do you want to know what's amazing about what you just said, mate? You picked up all of that from the first 10 minutes of the film.
You've
got a deep insight into this character's background, who he is, what motivates him, where he is, like, financially, career-wise, with his relationship. You have all of this because of the level of care and love that's gone into the writing, and it is mind-boggling that we just got sent this and was like, you can have a look at it, man. And
it's a rare treat. We go through a lot of screeners, and we operate on the, if you've not got anything nice to say, don't say it. And as a somebody who struggles with B-movie, again, we'll get into why.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that we get something where I'm like, oh no, this is a thing we can both talk about.
Yeah, definitely. The character Duncan, who is the scientist, right? When we first meet Duncan, I'm going back to the writing again because I'm just fanboying about Dean Eliotto at the moment. So he cuts through the shit so quick, it's unbelievable. He's on screen for maybe 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know immediately where he's at and what he stands for and who he is as a person.
Right.
What he's going through, what he's dealing with. And it's like to have that level of precise writing happen so fast in something that's almost seeming to be sort of like a throwaway horror comedy for the last 15 minutes. It's mental to me. It snapped me in. I was like, I'm fucking, all right, this is the next layer. I'm in on it. Let's go down this fucking rabbit hole.
I think it's testament to a good actor. And some actors are good technicians. Some actors are good draws. Like, they'll get bums on seats. The guy that plays Duncan, Dean talks about him at length in our interview, or at least better than I could. But that certain people, Denzel Washington will do a performance.
He will.
Exactly the same way as anyone else. But I'll watch Denzel Washington for, I don't know why. My eyes are just glued. There's like
it's
that kind
he's
of
a beautiful man.
There is that. Yeah. But that kind of like slightly undefinable, like, oh, this is a watchable person.
Yeah.
The actor that plays Duncan has that in spades. I'm just, the second he walks on screen, I'm like, oh, we're doing a film now, huh?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, now it's a film. All right, cool. All right.
Yeah, just let me strap on my fucking film hat because I was sitting here like a dick with my having fun hat. Now we're in a film. Let's go.
Did you notice
Mick Garris?
Ben, I'm the chin strokey Oscars guy. Who's Mick Garris?
Right, you text me and said, I recognize the bartender.
Yeah, I thought he was in like one of your movies, one of your nice, your fun little movies, like House of a Thousand Corpses or some shit.
Right, okay. So this guy is like absolute don.
Right.
Absolute don in the horror world. So okay. He directed a couple segments of Nightmare Cinema.
I haven't seen it.
He directed Dead of Summer, which is a TV show.
Okay, great.
He directed Riding the Bullet.
I mean, dude, again.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. He did an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that reference.
See, there you go.
I got that reference.
He directed Sleepwalkers.
Okay, yeah, no, I got that reference.
Yeah, there you go. He also directed, and this is the big one for me, mate. He directed Critters 2.
Okay, no, I've heard of that. I haven't seen it, but I have heard of it. I can see why you were excited by Mick Garris.
I fucking love this guy, man.
I know him by face. Like, I obviously, yeah. when he came on screen, I was like, I was doing the Leonardo DiCaprio clicking at the TV, going like, I know that man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just too chin strokey for a lot of this.
Mick Garris, mate. Mick Garris. So come on, what did you like about the film?
So I think this film made me realize that I am less able at watching certain films than you are. And I was watching it and I realized I wasn't getting into it. And I was like, why not? Like, the acting's on point, the script's on point. And I think subconsciously in my mind, there are certain contextual clues that tell my brain we're watching a film now.
Yeah.
And all of them require at least 20 mil being spent on the film, right?
Right, okay.
The second it looks like something that... Second, it's approachable.
Got you.
The second, the cinematography and the editing and all of the sort of makeup of the film is sub that 20 mil mark.
Right.
My brain goes, this isn't a film.
Got you.
This is people with cameras.
Got you.
Right.
Right, okay.
And if it's people with cameras, my brain goes, nah. And it's stupid because the only difference is, you know, the amount of money spent on cameras, lenses, lighting, sets, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is ridiculous to place a lower limit on a budget of a film before my brain kicks in and goes, I did it with Christopher Nolan's Following. Now, Christopher Nolan and Dean Alioto, both great filmmakers, both incredible filmmakers.
Yeah.
But when I watch Christopher Nolan's Following, I'm like, this is people with a camera. And I'm constantly aware of the crew behind the camera.
Okay.
And like the fact that it's just people in a room pointing a camera at other people pretending to do stuff.
I got you.
I don't slip into that disbelief thing. For the first chunk of this movie, I was in that space.
Got you.
And then for large, I don't think I've watched a film at this budget level and this distribution level and this kind of indie B movie. It's not a B movie, it's an A movie, but this indie movie vibe.
Yeah.
Where I've been able to turn my brain off for this much of it. Doesn't mean that there weren't big parts. I was like, it's people in a room again with the camera.
Got you. Okay. So that's really interesting.
But it annoys me because it means you're more able to watch films than I am. And I'm like,
I get exactly where you're coming from because I am the polar opposite to that. Like the reason that I enjoy 80s horrors and B movies and indie movies and that I fucking love finding these little hidden gems is precisely because of what you've just said.
Right.
The second...
How so?
Because I feel like big budget films, it's easy to make a nice looking film when there's 20 mil behind it, right?
100%.
And I can sit there and I can appreciate it and I can go, yeah, this is great, this is awesome. But I guarantee if someone gave me and you 20 mil, to make a film, we could do something not short of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. It would look similar.
And
I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, this is a thing. You know what I mean? It's like the big money spends. It's filmmaking on easy level. You know what I mean?
It is, yes.
And then when you get to the indie movies, you've got a pure passion project with a handful of people that have worked their souls into this script, into this production.
Oh, there's much more love. There's much more care.
That's where I thrive, man. The second that I can feel the soul, the second that I feel the warmth, I'm like, I'm here for this, man. I want to support it. let's fucking go with it.
Yeah.
And that's what really gets my tits hard.
I think as we're talking about it though, I think the thing that I need to work on is that the budget of the film can change.
Mm-hmm.
The budget that doesn't change is the amount my time costs.
1,000%.
So if I'm going to sit down for 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
I might watch Rebel Moon by Zack Snyder. I know it's going to be shit.
Well, it is so shit.
But it's like, it's awful. It's one of the very rare films I've turned off.
Ooh.
Within the first 25 minutes. I was like, this isn't going to get
You've
better.
You missed out on some of the best shit in that film, mate. Like, okay. It just gets worse. Like,
right, okay, brilliant.
It gets
brilliant.
Worse.
Some of the premiere shit in that film is in the last third.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But at least at that point, I can go, well, at least they're wasting my time expensively.
I get that, man. I get that.
And
I think
a good B-movie isn't wasting my time. It's adding to my time. But it's not had the money spent on
That's it. It's so this is it, man. Watching Dean's film for the first time through, I was like, I can't believe
mm-hmm.
that the same guy who took a Handycam, $6,500 and
right.
made the McPherson tape, and then had that whole insane story about it. Dean mm-hmm. goes into all the detail behind the McPherson tape. Go and watch the interview to find out everything you need to know about that, because it
he goes
mental.
Deep. Yeah,
it is mental what happened to that guy in that film. It's insane. Watching this one, and I was like, oh my God. Having a budget hasn't changed it.
No.
More money infused into it, bigger actors, all this stuff hasn't changed Dean's work. It's still the passion project. It's still every single tiny aspect of this film has been thought out meticulously. There is not a frame in this film that is an accident.
No, God, no.
And it is a pleasure to watch.
It really is. And I guess the reason I bring it up, because I'm aware that like Dean has been very generous with his time, and I don't want to be that guy being like, it's a B movie. The reason I bring it up is not because I'm a prick. I am a prick, but that's not why I brought it up.
Yeah. Nah.
It's because I think there are others out there who listen to our show that are like me.
Yeah.
That see a film like The Last Podcast and they go, well, it's not a mainstream studio release. There are going to be times in this movie where compromises have had to be made.
Yeah.
Because that's just the nature of budgeting, right? And I don't want to invest my time into something that's had to be compromised.
Mm-hmm.
My counterpoint would be, I am so allergic to this style of film. Like, yeah. I adore watching movies. I've very rarely watched indie, kind of up-and-comer genre, right? You
I
have
know.
To force-feed it to me.
Yeah, I've been bullying you into it for years now.
If you're like me and you think that this isn't for you, I don't think there's a better film to mm-hmm. show you how wrong you can be. Because this showed me how wrong I am.
Right?
I think it's a really good bridging point for skeptics like me who are like,
yes.
I don't think B-movies for me. I think this might be the guest who can prove scientifically that B-movie can be for you.
Oh, bud, I can feel the gap being bridged as we talk. I can feel the initiation taking place throughout your fucking body. And once it gets you, bud, you're going to be hooked on Barbara Crampton and Phyllisa Rose before you know it. I swear to God, I've got two posters waiting for you. The second you turn around to me and say, I really enjoyed Sleepaway Camp. Boom, they're in the post, mate. They're headed straight for you. I've had them for years. I bought one for me and one for you. And I was thinking, I'm never going to tell him this. If he ever asks, I'm going to say, if we get an office, it's for the office.
Right.
The second that you say that you like Sleepaway Camp, mate, posters in the fucking post.
Thing is, now you've told me, it's funnier for me to never like them.
Yeah, that's fine. You do you. Let's just turn this into being an absolute bag for the entire fucking thing. Yeah, fine. All right. I'm going to burn the second poster and fuck you. How about that?
No, okay. We'll get to Sleepaway Camp. But I think if we do Sleepaway Camp, we need more films like this where the quality is at a level where it doesn't matter that it's a B movie.
1,000%, man. And I say this a lot about when it comes to my ideals
mm-hmm.
for what I consider a perfect movie. And what I consider a perfect movie is the filmmaker and the filmmakers
mm-hmm.
going through a similar situation to what's being acted out on screen, and they're telling a story that they're so intimately familiar with
that
they're the best people to hear this version of the story from.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that Dean's relationship with the fiction of this film is theoretical more than practical, but
I've heard rumors that he has a ghost. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
And also, mysteriously, I found my hay fever tablets this morning based on a post-it note that just arrived in the mail.
Oh, okay.
Not gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty okay. Fair.
See,
fair.
This is what I'm saying. I'm gonna wrap up my thoughts of this movie real quick.
Always keep it wrapped.
I'm gonna keep it wrapped, buddy. Bag it up. The story of the last podcast has more twists and turns than a fucking Fusilli salad. You know what I mean? It's about a dream being chased. It's a quest for revenge. Mm. It's a family in the making. It's a mission to clear a name. It's ultimately a lesson in moderation, tempering your expectations and being careful what you wish for. But most importantly, and most poignantly for me personally, it's a very candid look at the dangers of addiction, even when the addictive substance isn't detrimental to your health.
Yeah.
It really knocked me on the head when it was just sort of like, see this guy chasing his career, fully addicted to that. You want to maybe hold this mirror up to yourself there, bud. And not only has Dean Alioto destroyed my psyche in my stoner formative years with the McPherson tape, he's now actively
attacking your sober replacement.
He's actively holding the mirror up to my sober life and going, still got you, mate. Still fucking got you. And I love him for it. I love him even more for it. He's an absolute gem. He came on our show. He gave us far more time than I thought we were going to get.
Oh, God, yeah.
Huge amount of knowledge, crazy stories.
He's too funny, though. It's annoying.
Oh, man, he was the funniest out of the three of us, and it was a fucking nightmare. You know what I mean?
It really was.
It was a nightmare. Not only is he a great filmmaker and incredibly well-read on film, he's just fucking hilarious.
The read on film thing annoyed me because I'm like, you're the funny one of the two of us, right? So he can be funnier. He can be funnier than us all day because that's not a competition I win.
Yeah.
But when he started schooling me on Orson Welles' earlier films, I was like, fuck! Fuck, I've got nothing.
The film needs to be seen. It needs to be supported. It's premiering right now at Fright Fest in the UK, in London. It's its global premiere. We as a nation are super fucking lucky to have the world premiere of the last podcast. If and when you get the chance to support it, please do. It's independent filmmakers with this amount of passion and soul and heart putting their blood, sweat and tears into every fucking frame of film that we need to support. We need more of it.
Also, you've not made a fucking film. So, do you know what
I mean? Yeah. Get off your fucking high horse and go do what Dean's done. You know what I mean? We're Team Dean right now. All right. We stan Dean.
And if you're not going to get off your ass and make a film, go watch his.
Yeah.
That's the minimum effort.
Right? Yeah. Also, it's probably going to be available next year. So if you don't get it now, gutted.
We will see you on Sunday and look out on YouTube for our full interview with Dean Alioto, director of the classic, legendary and iconic McPherson tape and his brand new film, The Last Podcast. Thank you for joining us.
We love you all very much. We'll see you on Sunday. Take care, guys. Love you.
Bye.